This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stasio. North Carolina Attorney General Josh Stein gave the green light for a big health care sale in Western North Carolina this week. He approved the sales contract of the nonprofit Mission Health to for-profit HCA Healthcare with some important changes. Lily Knepp's been covering the story. She's a reporter who covers Western North Carolina for Blue Ridge Public Radio in Asheville and joins us now from their studios. Welcome back, Lily.
Hey, Frank. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very well. Hope you are, too. This is a big deal. Tell us again why, because Mission Health, obviously very important in terms of health care in Western North Carolina. How big?
So Mission Health is pretty much the biggest provider of healthcare in our region. It covers 18 counties, and there are also 6 rural hospitals that are all operated through Mission Health. So it's a huge, huge amount of people who are infected by this deal.
And when they announced the sale to a for-profit HCA, it's big news. And it had to be approved by the state. Tell us about the intervention here or the involvement of the state attorney general.
So when a nonprofit operates as, you know, a hospital is a nonprofit, taxpayers and state money goes into making sure that that business is viable, takes care of people that don't have insurance. So when a hospital moves over to being for-profit, there's money that the state and taxpayers have put into it that they need to get back. So that is when the attorney general comes in. He needs to make sure that this sale is fair when it's moving from a nonprofit, something taxpayers put their money into, to a for-profit, which is going to be a business.
So he takes a look at his office, takes a look at the deal that was put together by Mission and HCA, looked at that and approved it, but did make some changes in order to get that approval. Tell us about the changes.
Absolutely. So I've been covering this since the summer when they first put out the first draft of the asset purchase agreement. And people really were concerned about some of the stipulations in it. A lot of the hospitals, HCA had only promised that rural area hospitals would be open for 5 years after the sale. And that's been one of the big wins for Western North Carolina is the attorney general has bumped that up to 10 years. So now they have to keep those small hospitals open for 10 years. And so that's just one example of kind of the changes that they had to make.
Also, the board representing, because the idea is that you want to get some kind of representation as this deal goes through. So talk about representation and the changes that are going to be made to the original plan along those lines.
Absolutely. So the money that needs to go back to the people is actually physically given to a new foundation that is created when this for-profit company is created. And so that nonprofit is called Dogwood Health Trust. And over the summer, they've been creating the board for this. And at this point, there are 11 people on the board, including the board director. But 6 of those people have been from Buncombe County. And, you know, this is an 18-county region, so people have really been calling for representation outside of Asheville. And then on the diversity standpoint, the NAACP in Asheville has really been calling for there to be more diversity on this board. It is the majority white. I think at this point there are 2 people of color and there are 2 women. But, you know, that's they really want to make sure that that's representative in the region so that people can make sure that this very large amount of money, I think it's almost $1 billion, is going to go to the people who need it in Western North Carolina, and that's not going to be decided by people in Buncombe County.
And also, as I understand it, a great number of the original board, the one proposed in the original plan, would have been made up by Mission Health board members already. And so I think that was that also part of this question?
Yes, and he has also asked that those board members fulfill their term, but then step down and are not a part of this board anymore, just to make sure that the board is independent. And another stipulation that was added is that there needs to be an independent monitor for the Dogwood Health Trust board to make sure that they're spending the money the way that the region needs it.
And has that been determined yet? I know the deal really has been waiting for, and everybody's been waiting for this approval so that the final details can be worked out. But do we know how much money we're looking at in this charitable fund?
I mean, that's the interesting thing about a charitable fund is it's the additional interest from the sale is then put into a principal fund that's in escrow, and then people operate off of the principal. So a lot of this money, and this is something that I feel like people have not talked about enough, is not going to be able to be touched for a while. Like, the Attorney General really keeps a close watch on this money to make sure that it is being invested in Western North Carolina in the right way.
Right.
So we will see how this goes.
What happens as the sale goes forward now? What's the next step?
So Mission says that the sale is going to close on January 31st and that HCA is going to take over on February 1st. So we will see as this deal kind of winds down when it actually closes.
And I know there was a lot of concern when this was first announced several months ago now. And as the details have become available and as this sale has gone through this process and changes have been made, any sense now about the way people are feeling about this transition from Mission to HCA?
I think people are really excited. In general, a lot of the smaller hospitals in the region really did need an infusion of cash. And so as much as they were concerned about HCA coming in and changing to a for-profit system, they're excited about this money that's coming in and about Dogwood Health Trust. So to be able to have a better, a more certainty that they're going to be represented on this board and that these hospitals are going to be open for at least the next 10 years, I think is a big win. And people in Western North Carolina are pretty happy about it, even if they are uncertain about what is going to change, because something's going to change when a new corporation comes in. So
right.
I think it overall positive.
We will stay tuned and count on you for that. But I want to talk to you about another story that you're working on, this one about Dolly Parton, my hero. She's been and I'm not alone there. She's given back to her home community in the Great Smoky Mountains since the wildfires there, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And this was a really interesting and, you know, kind of personal story for our region. So there were a lot of fires here in Western North Carolina 2 years ago, and sort of the worst one was in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. It really knocked out a whole part of the city. 14 people actually died in the fire and millions of dollars in damage. So it was pretty hard for the region. And Dolly Parton, country music legend, stepped up and said, what can I do?
More than that, actress, businesswoman, and certainly philanthropist. What did she do? It's an incredible story.
So it was really interesting. So she started the My People Fund. And, you know, people often talk about what can we do after a natural disaster? What are the best ways to help? Should we send water? And Dolly Parton decided to just straight up give money to the families who were involved. So she wrote checks for $1,000 a month for over 900 families and hosted a telethon to raise money. And as I was talking to the Dollywood Foundation, they explained that, you know, they raised so much money during this telethon that in the final month, each family got $5,000 instead of $1,000. So it ended up being about $12.5 million that she gave back to Sevier County, which is her home county.
And this is money that she gave away to all the families, regardless of income and regardless of the way they were affected by this, right? No questions asked, not a lot of paperwork to fill out, just here's the money, do what you want with it, which is extraordinary. To the extent that researchers, scholars decided to take a look at exactly what the impact of this was, right?
That's right. It's really a fun story. Like, she, a researcher from the University of Tennessee, was actually listening to NPR in her car and heard about Dolly Parton giving out this money. And she studies, you know, basic income programs and housing policy. And when she heard about the money, instead of thinking, wow, that's amazing, the way the rest of us did, she thought, wow, that's a guaranteed basic income program, and this is a chance for me to study it. And so that's what she did. She reached out to the Dolly Parton Foundation and wrote up a survey, then sent it out to the people who had been given these funds to ask them, you know, what their situation was before the fire and how they were really using this money.
And what did she find?
So it's really interesting when people talk about guaranteed basic income and, you know, anytime you give money through charity, I'm sure you've heard people say, don't give money to that homeless person, like they're just going to buy drugs or whatever. And so she really kind of found the opposite of this. All of the people who had full-time jobs when they were working continued to have their full-time jobs. A lot of the people in the study really only made about $1,500 a month from her sample size. So $1,000 a month was a significant increase for them. And she found that actually a lot of them started emergency funds for themselves. So they saved that money. And her name is Dr. Stacia Martin West, since I haven't mentioned that before. And that people were able to hopefully use that money to get homes and apartments, and people found places to live again. So it's really interesting research. And this is really one of the first times that they've been able to study this in a disaster situation.
That's pretty amazing. I mean, first of all, to underscore a couple of elements of what you just said, number one, people didn't go out and waste the money or do foolish things with it, as we hear so often is kind of the problem for a guaranteed income. They invested, they saved. But two, it meant that they could stay there. They didn't have to go away. So for the local economy, I guess that's a pretty powerful use of that kind of money, right?
Absolutely. And we've really seen, you know, Gatlinburg rebuild, and just another thing that Dolly Parton has been able to bring economically to her hometown.
So there's the economics and the public policy side of Dolly Parton. And in a moment, we're going to talk about, bring her right back to pop culture. But in the meantime, Lily Knepp, reporter who covers Western North Carolina, thank you so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Frank.
You have your guest actually right there. We're going to talk to Hillary, who stars in Dumplin', and she's sitting right next to you, which is why that's going on. We're going to take a little break, and then we're going to come back. But Lily, you can sit right there and make all the noise you want while Hillary's on the air, okay?
Thanks,
yeah,
Frank.
You can make you sit there and just kind of tap her on the shoulder and giggle while she's talking, okay? She's up next, and you'll hear how Lily gets her revenge when we return to the state of things in the Netflix movie Dumplin'. We'll talk to a star from Asheville on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, broadcast service of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. Stay with us.